Well, hello. I hope everyone is doing well. This is the podcast of A-Bomb Energy, and in this section, we are going to be covering automotive, but we also cover things related to life, to business, and most of you guys know I'm still active duty special operations, and so occasionally, we'll do a podcast on the military or anything globally happening in the world. But in today's podcast, what we're going to be talking about is Jeep. Oh, Jeep, how you have betrayed thee. Jeep is probably one of those brands that I love and hate at the same time because they have the ability to be literally one of the best SUV brands out there, and yet they constantly just do things where they shoot themselves in the foot. I seriously don't get it. Most of you guys know I'm a Jeep guy. I own three Jeeps right now. I own a 92 Cherokee that I rebuilt. It was an insurance claim car. It was in a front-end collision. Rebuilt it. All it needed was a new header panel, a new bumper, a new headlight, which I just ended up replacing both because why not? They come in pairs. A new trim on the outside of the headlight and a new grille and new radiator. Sounds like a lot of parts, but it was actually super easy to replace. And I highly recommend if you want a Jeep for cheap, you know, obviously look on things like Facebook Marketplace, but go to Copart. Go to Copart's website. You might be able to find a quote unquote wrecked Jeep. And I mean, because you'd be so surprised what insurance companies total vehicles for. I mean, this one was in a front end collision. It wasn't that bad. And I spent $1,000 on it. I won the auction, I think, for like $800. It was like $225 for delivery. And I spent maybe $600-ish on parts. That's not bad for a Jeep, a 92 Cherokee that has no airbags, which is awesome. Great for off-roading if that's what you're into. And then, let's see, 114,000 miles. Or no, excuse me, it had 112,000 miles. I think it has like 116,000 miles. I've owned it for a couple years. I don't drive it much. It's something I really only use on the property. My other Jeep is a 98 TJ Wrangler. Awesome, awesome Wrangler. It has about 225,000 miles on it. I've put at least 80,000 miles on it. I bought it used, got it for a really good deal. The gentleman that I bought it from gave me an amazing deal. He wanted 8. I offered him 5, and he's like, you know what? That's a fair price. And I was like, all right, perfect. And awesome guy. Worked with us real good on that. Amazing Jeep. I'm actually going to be selling my 92 Cherokee and my 98 Wrangler, because honestly, they just sit, and I love those vehicles too much to just let them sit, and so I'm going to end up just selling them. I don't even have them registered anymore. I'm insured. They just sit. My other Wrangler is a 2018 JL. It's a first-generation JL. Great Jeep. Love it. There are some issues with the JL, and we're going to cover some of these issues going on with at least the modern day Jeeps. I think we can all agree that the older Jeeps with the 4-liter and a manual transmission is pretty much the most indestructible Jeep on the planet. I mean, it is absolutely insane. I have known guys that have overheated their manual transmission 4-liter, like either a Wrangler or even a Cherokee, or gosh, man, what are they called? Oh my gosh, not a Cherokee, a Grand Cherokee. And I was getting ready to give WJ as the model, but I was getting ready to say that. But I've known guys that have overheated the engines, and yet they still run. They still run. The 4-liter is an absolutely incredible engine. It is the best engine, in my opinion, one of the best engines ever made, period. It's very common for people that just do highway driving and city driving to easily get 300,000-400,000 miles out of those engines. So, I mean, I got 225 on my Wrangler, and I have beat that thing to the death. It just keeps running. So incredible job. But now a question I get asked a lot is, should I get a JK or should I get a JL? That's kind of a difficult question to answer, but I'm going to give you some thoughts here, and I will give you the answer here shortly on which one you should buy. If you look at the cost breakdown of a JK and the cost breakdown of a JL, and you look at the features, what each one offers, okay, the JL is a much needed replacement for the JK. There's a lot of things about the JK, and I used to own a 2014 Sahara JK. I love that Jeep. I think it was a phenomenal Jeep. The problem with the JK, though, is the interior And even some exterior components are just insanely cheap. It's just a cheaply built Wrangler, yet they still command an insanely high price for them. I mean, even now, if you go look at how much a JK costs right now, the breakdown of that compared to a JL is not that bad. And that was really the point for me. So here's an example. Whenever I bought my JL in 2018, my Sahara, I paid $22,000 for my Sahara. I think it was closer to $23,000 for my Sahara. I sold it in 2018 for $24,500. I had only owned it for about a year. So I bought it in 17, traded it in 18. I made money on the JK, which doesn't make sense, but that's okay. That's one of the things with Jeeps. If you guys don't know, if you're new to Jeeps, they hold their value very well, very well. They're, I think Tacoma and Wrangler are one of the few vehicles that are going to hold their value. They're not going to just absolutely tank right when you drive it off the lot. Now, the impetus behind getting the JL was looking at what you get with a JK. So let's just talk basic components. Let's not go into the off-roading specs and everything like that, because that's something you can look up online. I will say, hands down, in my opinion, after off-roading with a JK and after off-roading with a JL, I think the JL is much better off-roading. I'll just put it that way. So if you want to know that answer, the JL, I think, is a better off-roader. Now, if you look at the interior components of a JL, you can clearly tell this is not some parts bin crap that they did with the JK. One thing I absolutely hate about car companies is when you have a special model. The model that is carrying the company, if you really think about it, the Jeep Wrangler carries Jeep. They don't sell as many, let's say Grand Cherokees, or especially the Grand Wagoneer. That thing is a joke. They don't sell as many. The Wrangler is the vehicle that is just keeping Jeep alive, and really Stellantis. So if you guys don't know, Stellantis is the owner of Jeep, which is a European brand. You know, Jeep has had multiple divorces, and, you know, Jeep is the adopted child that nobody seems to want. So it's very interesting to witness that whole breakdown happen. However, Jeep is the thing that keeps, you know, the company alive. The Wrangler is what keeps Jeep alive. You look at that breakdown, right? And you start to see, like, okay, what do you get? The JK, you get a parts bin vehicle on the inside. And I could not stand that my luxury Sahara, if you want to air quote that, luxury Sahara Wrangler had the same equipment as my base model 2009 Dodge Charger. That is highly unacceptable. And I cannot stand it when companies do that. I don't have a problem with you doing some sort of parts bin if it's for your standard vehicles. You know, if you look at Toyota, the Corolla, the Camry, the Tacoma, the Tundra, things like the locks and the doors and all that stuff, you know, little components like the volume knob, things like that. A lot of that stuff is exactly the same, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Every company does that. However, whenever you have a model that is floating the company and is tossing as much water out of the boat like the Wrangler, you should probably give it a little bit more special attention. And I think that's what they did with the JL. That was one of the reasons why I got the JL. I could not believe how poorly built the interior was of the JK. I just could not stand it. Great. I think the JK is a great Jeep. Don't get me wrong. But it's just poorly built on the inside. And I know some people are going to be like, well, you don't buy a Jeep to, have a nice interior. Well, you know what? Whenever it costs as much as it costs, I expect a nice interior. Whenever you, so let's just look at a base model JL. A base model JL is about $35,000, $36,000. I don't know what the new updated pricing is before this podcast, and that number could change. But let's just say, you know, according to cars.com, I will put it this way. When you look at the market of used Wranglers, you're looking at about 30-ish grand. That does not make any sense for a sport, a Jeep Wrangler sport. $30,000 for a base model that has what fancy features on the inside? Okay, sure, it has a really nice, you know, differential, the off-road package that it comes out the door, because everyone knows that the most out-the-door capable vehicle from a manufacturer is a Jeep Wrangler. A Tacoma doesn't beat it. A 4Runner does not beat it. A Jeep Wrangler is clearly And out of the box, it is one of the best vehicles that you can get for off-roading. However, the price of a Wrangler is absolutely stupid. It is insanely stupid how much these things cost. And it's actually quite infuriating because to me, what I think whenever I see the price of that vehicle and kind of having a basic understanding on how much it costs to build it, it's highly insulting to the Wrangler community, because the Wrangler community is, you know, these guys are some of the most loyal customers that you can get. I mean, you can literally take a Wrangler owner who's just a diehard Wrangler guy. You can beat him. You can take his wife. You can take his kids, and you know, it'll be Wrangler that's doing it, and he's still going to go out and buy a Wrangler. It's kind of crazy. I mean, a lot of Wrangler, diehard Wrangler owners, they'll post their vehicle online for sale for, you know, 25 grand, and a guy will come to buy it. If he's another Wrangler owner, he's going to be like, you want 25 grand for this? You know what? I'll give you 27. You know, that's how a lot of these guys are. And I used to be a diehard Wrangler guy, but I'm just kind of tired of the, and I don't mean to complain here, but I'm just tired of the elitism in the Wrangler community, number one. I am tired of the poorly built 3.6 Pentastar engine. I think it's a good engine, sure. For the modern times, you know, it's still naturally aspirated. It's not turbocharged, which I very much appreciate. But for what you get, the price just doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. Now, I'll just say this up front in case you're listening specifically for this reason. I'm going to move into another topic here in a second. But if you are on the fence between a JK and a JL, I highly, highly recommend, I cannot emphasize this anymore, I highly recommend you go with the JL. The interior features alone are going to do it for you. It's just better built on the inside. You can tell everything is purpose driven when it comes to, you know, things like the, what is it called? The volume control knob, the HVAC control knobs, like you can just tell, like, it's built with quality, and they have little Easter eggs on the vehicle, which kind of to me shows, okay, you actually care about this vehicle. You care. You're putting thought, and the attention to detail is incredible, and I very much appreciate that. The other reason to get the JL, if you're going with the soft top, it's not even a freaking competition. The JL soft top is 1,000 times better than the JK and any other soft top that's out there. It takes me literally 15 seconds to disassemble a JL soft top. It's super simple, and they did a phenomenal job. The engineers should be very proud of themselves for what they did with that. Compared to the JK with the zippers and the Velcros, it's stupid. It's absolutely stupid. That's why I very much appreciate the JL. Now, issues with the JL that they really screwed the pooch on. Well, I think, I cannot prove this, but I think they cheaped out on a lot more parts with the JL 3.6 Pentastar versus the JK 3.6 Pentastar. Normally, like what Toyota does with Kaizen, where it's continuous improvement, normally as the engine progresses in the future, the engine design, the efficiency, the performance, the reliability, durability, those things get better. But I think with the new generation Pentastar, there are certain elements that are worse. I think there's too many cooling pipes. There's if you open it up and you look at the amount of cooling pipes that are in it, those things are going everywhere. I mean, you open it up and it's like a spider web of hoses and pipes. It's crazy. Now, if it actually was, you know, there was a purpose behind it, sure, keep it. But make those components better quality, because a lot of these aluminum pipes that they put on the cooling system inside the new JL engine, dude, they're trash. They're trash. It's like it's some of the cheapest metal I have felt. And that is a freaking problem, because a lot of these guys, like myself, we actually use our Wranglers to go off-roading from time to time. And, you know, you're going to hit bumps. You're going to hit things in the road. You're going to, you know, kind of maybe touch a tree here and there. You know, it happens. You know, I'm not hating. Just a small little anecdote. For me, I just got off work one day. And, you know, I'm in special operations. We just got done doing this medical lane course, and I was tired, man. I'm the medic on the team, so I'm tired. I'm gassed out. It's like 8 o'clock at night, or 1800, so 6 o'clock at night. You know, I had to stay, you know, late and all that stuff, and we were doing a prolonged field care exercise. And so I'm just gassed out. I'm driving home, and all of a sudden, I hear my engine fan just cranking. That thing is just moving. I thought my Wrangler was going to take flight. And I was like, this is great. I'm going to fly home instead of sitting in traffic. No, that wasn't the case. What ended up happening was my Wrangler overheated. And the reason why I know that a lot of these parts are cheap on the interior or on the engine bay, whenever I got home, I actually ended up having to call a friend of mine, well, former friend of mine, to come use his trailer, pick me up, and get me home. And I was like, dude, what the heck is going on here? There was a pinhole leak in one of the pipes that was routed in the back of the engine. A pinhole leak. Now, some of you guys might be like, well, how did that occur, Brandon? Well, what happened is, because I use my Wrangler, I must have hit a bump somewhere at some point, and one of the attachment points for the brake line hit the cooling pipe and rubbed it raw and rubbed a small pinhole leak, and my entire cooling system was drained on my Wrangler. That freaking sucked. It sucked. I didn't get home until like 8 o'clock, 8:30 at night, and I had to be at work the next day in the morning early. Talk about putting a bad taste in your mouth on a vehicle. Right there, that was one of the times where I realized, okay, this thing is cheap. The next thing, the clutch on the new Wranglers. I don't know how many recalls there's been. I think there's already like one or two active recalls on my clutch at this point right now. There are so many recalls on the JL. It is disgusting. And the fact that they're having to recall the clutch on like three or four separate occasions is insane. It's absolutely insane to me. A manual transmission has been around since the beginning of cars, and yet somehow Jeep is unable to produce a quality clutch. Now, you can get away with it by getting the Center Force clutch package. I think that is the way to go. The reason why I know this is because my clutch, my slave cylinder in my Jeep has gone out three separate times, and I think it's actually getting ready to go out again. I can tell in the mornings when I start it, sometimes it's like super firm, and it's not supposed to be that firm. And the dealer told me whenever it's that firm, that means there's air getting inside the system, and then you have the potential of maybe even needing to purge the system again, or your slave cylinder is going out. So I'm prepared for another slave cylinder to go out, and this time it won't be covered under warranty. And if it does go out, I'm going to get the whole Center Force package, because it's already a better package and it's about $1,200-1,300, and I'll just pay someone to install it. So, because I'm just tired of dealing with those things. So overall, though, I think the JL is generally a very reliable off-roader vehicle. And, you know, even if you're a street queen, you know, like most of us are, I think it's a great vehicle to get. Now, the turbos in the Jeeps, the 2.0, I don't recommend at all. Putting a turbo in a large vehicle, I've had this conversation with a lot of people that don't understand turbos, and I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm a car scientist here, but I do understand some basic things. When you put a turbo in a larger vehicle, like a Wrangler or a truck, for example, you're now adding so much additional stress, not only to the turbo, but also to the engine. You're not going to get the same longevity out of the engine because you're adding so much additional pressure to the inside of the engine. You're adding additional heat to the inside of the engine. Oh, and by the way, because the engine bay is going to get much hotter, now all those plastic and cheap components that are on the inside, those are now going to wear out a lot faster. So there's a lot of considerations that you're going to have to think about. If you're going to hold onto your Jeep for maybe, you know, 80,000 miles or so, maybe 100, sure, the turbo might be fine, and then you can just pass it off onto the next guy, and he now gets a $5,000 bill. Sure, most people should be aware of that at that point. I cannot stand the idea that putting a turbocharger in everything is somehow the answer to save the planet, okay? A naturally aspirated engine is going to be so much better than a turbocharged engine for longevity. And if you're into the whole environmental stuff, and naturally aspirated engine is more environmentally friendly. The gas mileage standards that Jeep gives out for the turbocharged engines is an absolute lie. It's an absolute lie. You don't get that much more improved gas mileage versus a naturally aspirated engine. Okay, it's an absolute joke. I don't know the exact numbers, the EPA numbers off the top of my head, but I can tell you right now, if you do just a little bit of Google searching and the experiences that I've had with the 2-liter turbo Jeep, it's a joke. It's a joke. I'd rather have the naturally aspirated one. Sure, it's nice because it's a little bit quicker, or at least perceived power is a little bit better when the turbo spools up, sure. But I'm telling you right now, if you want a longer lasting vehicle, get a naturally aspirated engine and get a manual. I know the automatics that they're putting in there in the Wranglers now are pretty good. I don't have a problem with that. If you're just not a manual guy, I think getting an automatic Wrangler is still a really good option. I have no beef with that. Normally, I'm a manual transmission guy all the way, but considering Jeep has screwed up this clutch so many times, I'm kind of rethinking that with Jeep at least. Other brands like Toyota, Mazda, Honda that offer a manual, even Volkswagen, you know, they offer a manual transmission in their vehicles. I think in general, that's what you need to go with. I think it's up in the air at that point with Jeep, but if you gun to my head, I'm taking the manual transmission Wrangler. Just my thoughts there. The diesels with the Wranglers, I don't recommend any diesel made by Fiat/Stellantis. It's just not going to be it's just not good for the US market anyways. A diesel, it's not going to work. I would just avoid it. Get the 3.6 Pentastar. I think in general, it's going to be your best thing. Now, the 392 Hemi that they're throwing in the Wranglers now is kind of an insult with how much it cost. I think it's absolutely crazy how much the 392 Hemi is. Makes no sense to me. Makes absolutely no sense to me. And again, this is where I begin to get a sour taste in my mouth with Jeep, because it's like, look, dude, you've been making the 392 Hemi for years. You have the production cost. You guys probably have warehouses just full of the 392s. And you're telling me that you haven't fixed the supply chain. You haven't, you know, vertically integrated at that point. You haven't done any of this to make that engine more cost effective for the company and the customer. Get out of here, dude. Get out of here. And they're charging like, you know, I've seen some of these 392 Hemis going for $100,000. $100,000. The cost of like a house in Oklahoma or something like that, or Texas or wherever, you know, Tennessee. Crazy what they're charging for these things. And that's probably one of my biggest complaints with Jeeps. Cost. And the value that you get, it's just, to me, it's just not there. It's just absolutely not there. The cost of a Wrangler and what you get, to me, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it for the most part. The only people that should be buying Wranglers are people that just absolutely love Wranglers, and you want a really good out-the-door off-roader that you don't have to really do anything, because I've off-roaded with stock Jeeps before. I mean, heck, my JL is stock, and I've gone on trails where dudes with modded out like JKs are getting stuck, and I get through it with my JL. Literally, it's crazy. A lot of that has to do with skill. I think a lot of people overcompensate in the off-road sector with lack of skill, so they decide, you know what, I'm going to put a 55-inch lift on it, and I'm going to put 90-inch tires, and you know, put all these crazy mods in there. Obviously, I'm joking and exaggerating, but you know, they add a lot of these off-road features and they don't even know the basics of off-roading. So I highly recommend, if you do get one, keep it stock, off-road with it stock. You know, if you have street tires, guess what? Street tires, I've off-roaded with street tires on a Wrangler and it's done really well. Just air down a little bit, get a little bit more traction, you know, widen that tire out and that base, man, you can get some work in with those things. And yeah, so anyways, I really appreciate a lot of the love and support that we've been getting on the YouTube channel. If you guys don't know, I have a YouTube channel about cars, and we do documentary style videos on cars. I was going to start uploading the podcast on YouTube, but that's just, I don't know, man. I don't know if that's the platform to be doing it. I think YouTube is a great platform, but on YouTube, what we do is we do a trailer to a specific film that we're going to be working on. So I just recently did one on Toyota. I released a Toyota trailer film Then I release the film, and then we always do a vlog response discussing the film, discussing how I came to the conclusions and the analysis that I gave in the video. And then we also address a lot of questions that were in the comments and even like some controversy. I mean, we always interject some controversy because there's always some, you know, bleeding heart fan of whatever brand I'm talking about that just completely disagrees with what I'm saying, which is fine. Usually they try to insult me, and usually the insult, they can't even form a sentence properly, which is absolutely hilarious. So if you're going to, just quick tip, if you're going to insult someone online, make sure you spell right and make sure that you know how to, you know, formulate a sentence. But anyways, that's going to be it for the podcast. I really appreciate everyone listening. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email me at, what email should I give out? You know what? We're going to set up a specific email. But if you have any, you do have any questions, you can reach me on Facebook. You can also reach me on Instagram at @abombenergy. Instagram is usually one of my platforms. I'm also on TikTok. I kind of post on there. You can also reach out to me on YouTube. I will get an email set up for you guys though. So anyways, I hope you guys have a great day. I'm out of here.